welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
You know, we just came back from ISC 12. Dan was there, and Dan and I were lucky enough to sit down with Jack Dongara and talk about the latest top 500, which of course is based on the Linpack benchmark. And Dan, you know, one of the things I thought was interesting, he was talking about how it takes so long to run this benchmark now that it's becoming prohibitive for some of these sites to take days and days to just do the run of Linpack. He's talking about tweaking the code or tweaking the how it's measured, I guess, so they won't have to take the machine away from the scientists.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And it does take significant time to do a run. But I think what's running into days and days and, you know, I think he said weeks in some cases, was the customer trying to get the right result or to get a high enough result. I think all of us would agree that Linpack is increasingly less representative of what workloads HPC users are actually running, right?
Well, the whole issue of communications being the limiting factor, you know, Linpack was very representative probably at the time for some HPC workloads, but without regular communications, it's less representative.
The thing that I would be concerned about when you talk about changing Linpack is, does that break with comparability to previous scores? And I don't know that. I'm not sure. He didn't really talk at a lot of depth about what changes he'd like to see.
Well, the end result, I guess, is, I wasn't clear on how he'd get there, but that's the end result, is that, you know, as these machines continue to get bigger, that time is going to increase unless the code changes.
Well,
right?
And there was an effort to deal with this quite a while ago, not quite a while, in the last decade, called HPC Challenge.
Yeah, HPCC.
Yes. And there was no broad industry adoption there.
The only guys I'm aware of that are running it are the student cluster competition.
So the problem being with that is it's a multi-dimensional benchmark. It measures different things. It comes up with a set of numbers, right? And then if you have a group of machines tested with this and you present those numbers, you're still stuck with the problem of, okay, which one's better?
Well, but which one's better depends on the characteristics of your workload.
Correct. And that, you know, mapping that back to your workload has always been the issue.
But if you have a group of numbers as opposed to just one number, one Linpack number, the thing I think is that actually then your top, if you want to look at the top 500 list, it becomes the top computers in this aspect of HPCC, in that aspect of HPCC, and those map to specific computational needs.
Can you say Graph 500, Dan?
I'm looking, you know, actually when we were started this conversation, I pulled up Graph 500, and there aren't 500 of them. Of course, last time we looked, Rich, at the GTC show, we were kind of curious about this. There are only 49 entries. Now there's 80 entries on the Graph 500, which is well short of 500.
So I'm still thinking we got to get in there and become number 81 just for submitting.
That's Dan, what I'm thinking.
But Dan, as soon as Dan cuts through to his attic, then we'll be good.
I was going to do that with Hydra 1A. But, you're not seeing any other benchmarks really get much traction.
Well, certainly. And then if we look at, you know, some of these alternative 500s, right, we have the green 500 as well.
Which is same thing. I mean, it's Linpack divided by power consumption, and a lot of that is imputed.
And you have to wonder if IBM helped to write the benchmark because they have the top 20 systems on it. Right? It seems to be optimized for their current product line.
What a fine coincidence that is.
Yeah. So, you know, so we have Graph 500, we have Green 500, measuring efficiency, you know, different aspects of systems, and maybe it's best that they stay separate for now. We did ask Jack about that, if he was going to measure power efficiency.
Rich, let me interrupt.
Yeah.
Staying all these different ones, you'll end up the equivalent of HPC challenge because no one will be able to figure out where they fit in the continuum.
Well, I know what you mean, Henry, but at the same time, you've got the Daytona 500 and the Indy, totally different kind of cars. Which one's faster, right?
It depends on what you want to do, and that's where I think the HPC challenge is probably the best alternative out there, is it does give you a way to look at how particular systems perform different types of workloads. And if the main problem, the main thing that everybody's complaining about with Linpack is that it only measures one thing that no one is really doing much anymore, then we need to have something that measures multiple things.
Well, Dan, I wish you and Rich best of luck changing the universe here.
Just go on and keep cursing the darkness, Henry. Don't light a candle, pal. Just keep cursing the darkness as you have been.
Look, guys, the top 500 is a tremendous PR machine. It's a marketing machine, and the whole industry follows it. Countries base entire R&D budgets to try to score points and get rankings on this thing.
It's
not going away.
And it's stronger than, it's more powerful than even TPCC was at the very height of its power on the commercial side.
And has something replaced that, or what's happening out there in the enterprise?
There's there always have been a lot of different benchmarks in the enterprise side.
But how are they used, Dan? Are they really used as benchmarks? Or they use it just for marketing? The other question are people basing machine buys on these things? And to me, no one's basing a machine buy on, TPC, whatever, spec, whatever. It's not a benchmark anymore.
It's interesting. It's something that actually I'm going to be doing some research on and trying to figure that out because I'm curious about it myself. I think from talking to clients and folks in the real world is that that benchmarks are still a component of the buying decision. They become more important the closer that benchmark gets to what you're actually going to do. So, for instance, if you're going to be buying an SAP system, SAP solution from various vendors, you're going to look at the SAP benchmarks. So those are most highly used. I don't think that benchmarks still have the power that they used to have, say, in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, you still can't afford to submit a lousy number, I would think, no matter who you are, right? If you're Oracle or IBM or HP or whatever, relative to what's out there, I think you have to watch and work harder. You got to stay in the pack, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Either you stay in the pack or you don't submit.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and the issue is anybody doing anything with it other than a press release? What do people do for spec NFS other than a press release, Dan?
Well, in enterprise, no one cares about spec NFS that I see. It doesn't
then
have
it's
the, any
then
profile.
By
at
my
all.
Definition, it's not a benchmark anymore.
Yeah.
Then it's evolved. It's gone beyond to something else, something higher,
something lesser, actually. it's the benchmark that get the most attention are application benchmarks. Related to applications, again, on the enterprise side.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.